for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Appreciate the Lord this evening for fighting your battles, many of which we can't even see with our naked eyes. Just appreciate Him. Just give Him praise. Yes, Father, we thank You for fighting our battles for us. We give You praise. We give You glory. Be Thou exalted. Can you ask the Lord to send His word to you this evening? That you will not leave this meeting without hearing God. Say, Father, send your word to me tonight. Give me a word for the now, a word for this moment. Yes, Father, send your word to us tonight. Send your word to us personally. Send it to us collectively. In the name of Jesus Christ, that none of us will leave this place in the manner which we came in. We shall leave this place with an encounter, with an experience. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This evening, we are pressing on in our discussion on destination for supernatural advancement. Destination for supernatural advancement. We started looking at that last week, and we give God praise for that which was brought to us by the Holy Spirit through His servant. Part of the problem I've always had is that, where is this? Most of what we share, where is the majority of the church members are not part of the discussion. So when people are speaking, they speak out of context because they are not flowing with the stream of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. But thank God for those of us who are here. I pray that the Lord will help us. Somebody told me that people are joining online, and I said, maybe one of these Sundays we need to release the attendance online to midweek services. I think the highest we have had is 100 people. Ask them in the media now, apart from when we're having major conferences, and it's not healthy for the church, because every dealing of God with us is in a continuum. There's no isolation. I know God is too great, too mighty for you to be asking Him, répéter. How many of us did French? In French class, when you hear répéter, what's the meaning of répéter? What are you telling the teacher to do? to repeat, you know. So I pray God will help us as a church. Let me ask us, when we use the word destination, what is the meaning of destination? I need this fan, but at the same time, it's disturbing me. I wish, I'm feeling really hot, but it's disturbing my Bible. I don't know what way to solve the problem. I guess our brethren didn't put on the AC for us on time. Or the ACs are not on. Okay, we are conserving power. The Lord will help us to advance. So, I didn't hear your amen. We must advance. Okay, what is the meaning of advancement? When you use the word advancement, or destination rather, we have defined advancement, is destination I wanted us to define now. When you use the word destination, what does it stand for? What does it mean? Who wants to share with us? Yes, I'm seeing a hand there. Do we have microphone guys? Shegun? Okay, Ayuba, you push your place, help us. Yes, sir. Just go ahead and speak, yes. Did you hear what he said? Destination is where a journey ends. So if you are traveling from here to Abuja, where is your destination? Abuja. If you get to Lokoja and you decide to tell the driver, driver, stop, I don't reach where they go, They say, but you say you are going to Abuja. I say, I'm all right. This is Jatu. You know, there's Ja also in Lokoja. Abuja, Lokoja, the sand. So you drop in Lokoja. Have you reached your destination? You didn't reach this destination, but you are close to your destination. Lokoja to Abuja is just about an hour. Those days, I don't know how long it is now with our good roads. Praise God. Who else want to share with us? Take note of those definitions. When we talk about destination, what comes to your mind? Destination. Yes, very simple definition. He has given us a destination definition that is correct.
To me, I will say, where God has assigned one to be.
Where God has assigned one to be, according to our brother. Where God has ordained you to be. That is your what? That is your what? Destination. In other words, where you are not where God wants you to be, then you have not arrived. Okay, let's take one more hand.
I'll say achievement of a set goal.
Okay, the achievement of a set goal is your destination. If you set a goal that I want to become a lawyer, and you graduated from law school, and you just took your certificate and went and filed it, and you're not doing anything with it, and people say, what is the problem? Say, I just want to be a lawyer, and I'm a lawyer. So I've achieved my what? My set goal. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, our brother said something where God has ordained for you to be. And I want you to write that down. When we are talking about destination for supernatural advancement, there's a place that God has ordained for you to be. There's a place God has ordained for your family to be. There's a place God has ordained for me as a church to be. If I do not get to that point, Even though I've achieved so many other wonderful things in life, the simple truth is that I didn't arrive at my destination. Praise the Lord. We're going to read two scriptures. One from the Old Testament and the second one from the New, which we read last week, about destination for supernatural advancement. For instance, for the Israelites, when God delivered them from captivity in Egypt, where was the destination for them? Where was supposed to be their destination? Church, where was supposed to be their destination? Dickness, Rifkatu Dogo, I see your body movement. Let me give up microphone.
The land of Canaan.
The land of where? Of Canaan. Praise the Lord. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. For you to know that God had a destination in mind. God had a destination in mind when he delivered his people. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7 down to verse 8. The Lord said, who said it? I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about what? Their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Ammonites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. I want you to see from this scripture that it will have been, it will have tantamount to a waste of time and resources for God to have gone all the way to deliver the Israelites. You know, it wasn't easy to get them out. I hope you know that was really, really a battle to get those people out of Egypt after 430 years in captivity. And it will have been a waste of those resources, time, everything you can think of, if only God was just going to deliver them out of Egypt and leave them there. Are you following now? God had a destination. And the destination, just like we said, for them happened to be what we call the Canaan land. We call it the land of promise. But I want you to see the description of that land before I ask you the next question. How did the Bible describe that land in verse 8? Who wants to tell us? Look at verse 8. How did the Bible describe that land? The land that God planned to take these people to. Who had seen it? Who wants to share with us? Okay, my brother again. How did the Bible describe that land? It's very clear. Okay.
It described that land as a land full of milk and honey.
Okay, praise God. I think that's the one my brother likes the most. You like milk and honey. Amen. Because he jumped the first set of descriptions. Okay, to bring them out of that land. Into where? Into what? A good and what? Spacious land. Into a good and spacious land. It's not every land that is good. I hope you know that. I know you can interpret this to mean different things to different people. It's not every relationship that is good. It's not every job, even though it may look glamorous, that is your destination that God has ordained for you. But God, who is a good God, are you hearing me? God, who is a good God, has a good land for his children. That land is good. Another feature of that land is that it's a land that is what? That is what? That is spacious. When you say something is spacious, what does it mean? It's roomy. Praise the Lord. It's different from when you are living in a one, not one bedroom now, one room in a boy's quarter. Than when God just elevated you and you now find yourself in a duplex. Is there any difference? Are the rooms the same? What has happened? God has granted you space. God has granted you what? Space. So, note critically that the following describe the land God had in mind for his people. Number one, it's a good land. Number two, it's a spacious land. And number three, it is a land that is what? Flowing with what? Milk and honey. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. How many of us are desirous of this type of land? You want God to take you to a good land. A spacious land. A land filled with milk and honey. And like I said, this can mean different things. But see, it summarizes the kind of life that God has ordained for you. The kind of life God wants for you in 2024. That by December 2024, when we begin to look back, you can say, yes, God has taken me from Egypt and he has taken me to a good land, to a spacious land. To which kind of land? Land filled with milk and honey. So I pray for somebody tonight, you will not die in Egypt. In the name of Jesus, I say you will not die in your Egypt. Oh, praise God. Do you know another thing about that land? Did you see the latter part of that land? Something looks strange, isn't it? The land God promised to give the Israelites was not actually a vacant land. Some people were actually original owners of the land. The God who owns heaven and earth. You know, Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and what? The fullness thereof. There's one song we used to sing those days. I can't remember them again. My father owns the land. Something like that. He owns the land. And he has the right to give it to whoever he wants. These people decided living contrary to the will of God. Idolatry. All kinds of terrible atrocities. The Canaanites. Take us back to Exodus 3, verse 8. They started worshiping idols, all kinds of immoralities. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. So God decided to wipe them away. And now brought his people to take over that place. Praise God. The question I was to ask you, I've already answered it indirectly, but let me still ask you to check whether you are following. God promised to take these people to this land we have described. Did God fulfill the promise? Did God fulfill it? If you agree that God fulfilled the promise, let me see you wave your hand. That God fulfilled the promise. Amen. Amen. That means God is a promise keeper. That means God is not a liar. Praise God. Whatever he says, he will bring it to pass. Even though that promise tarried. Even though that promise delayed. And by the way, who delayed the promise? Who delayed the fulfillment of the promise? Let me have water, please. Who caused the delay? So who caused the delay? There was delay, isn't it? Delay of how many years? Talk to me, church. Delay of 40 years. Wow. 40 years. 40 years. And do you know that journey was to take them how many days? 40 days. But they spent how many years? There are some of us, you may be going through delay now. I will need to ask you to check your own life. Because the problem all the time is never from God. The problem most of the time is from us. Because God has power to fulfill his promise. Amen. Amen. Tonight we are going to be talking about what are the things in their lives that caused the delay. That they were delayed. But we thank God that ultimately that promise was fulfilled. Amen. Let me quickly say again that the Canaan land God has promised us is both physical and also spiritual. That promise of the Canaan land is both earthly and heavenly. Are you hearing that? It's both earthly and heavenly. That means on earth, we are going to experience a good land, a spacious land, a land filled with milk and honey. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't matter who is occupying that space now. If that is what God has ordained for you, God knows what to do. You will get there. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can you hear me prophesy to your neighbor? Say, you will get your promised land. You will get your Canaan land. Hallelujah. Don't forget that Canaan land has an earthly dimension, and also has an heavenly dimension. The heavenly dimension is when we all die and we enter into glory with God Almighty. Amen. 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 None of us have been to heaven before. Is there anybody here who has been to heaven here before? None of us. Praise God. You won't see heaven and want to return to this place. You will not want to. Praise God. And by the grace of God, none of us is going to heaven yet. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going to heaven yet. I'm not going to heaven yet. I'm not ready to go yet. It's not yet my time to go to heaven. I will go to heaven, but it's not yet time. Praise God. I hope your neighbor is cooperating. He's telling you that it's not yet his time. Okay, I say it on your behalf. It's not yet your time. It's not your time to go to heaven. You will go there, but not yet time. Amen. We will enjoy the Canaan land on this path first. Have a foretaste. Then, ultimately, God will take us to glory. Amen. Amen. And I pray you will not miss it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now we have looked at the Old Testament scripture. I want us to go now to Philippians and see contextually. I'm just trying to build on what we did last week before I move to tonight's meeting. We are looking at the contextual destination or the advancement that God has in store for us last week. We look at 12 dimensions. So in Philippians chapter 3, please, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we read from verse 10 to verse 13 to verse 14. Philippians 3 from verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. When we are defining destination, somebody talk about achievement of set goals. Praise God. And applying that to Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 verse 10, what do you consider to be Paul's own destination for supernatural advancement? What were his set goals that God placed in his heart that he was pursuing, that he wanted to achieve? What were those four things listed in that verse 10? I think there are four of them. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that we not just be earthly alone in our thinking and in our orientation. Because most of the time, believers, we live for the earth alone. We live for the physical alone. We live most of the time for the material alone. And the tendency is for us to forget that beyond the physical, beyond the material, beyond the financial, there's something much more that God is offering us. Whereas God, in his goodness, will bless you and I with a good land. I see, I like to apply the word of God from the physical down to the spiritual. That means even we are talking about physical land. If you are here in this meeting tonight, you have never owned a land, God will bless you. God will deliver you from merent. You know what they call merent? What is merent? From being a tenant to be a landlord. And you ask me, like that man said to the person, even if God opened the windows of heaven, somebody say, Pastor, if you know my village, if you know where I'm coming from, person they get land, me to get land, you know, go walk. You will get. Trust God. You may not get in Ekoyi, but you will get land. And it will be a good land. Amen. It will be a spacious land. Because this year is a year of advancement. It's a year of improvement from where you are. God is taking you somewhere. Some of us have taught in life that everything you must have, you must buy it with your own money. You must buy it with your... God doesn't operate that way. God told these same people, say, I will give you cities you didn't build. I will give you wells you did not dig. I will give you vineyards you never planted. And God did it. Can you see how they conquered cities of the Amorites, of the Hivites, that they never invested in? Oh, may God bless somebody in this manner. Businesses, God will give you businesses of your own. He will give you projects of your own. He will bless you with a good land. Hallelujah. But see, like I was trying to say, let's never come to a point in our life that we lose sight of the other side. That beyond that physical good land, there's something else. And that is what we are seeing in the life of Apostle Paul in that Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. So let's now break it bit by bit. Media, thank you. What's the first line we see there? I want to do what? To know Christ. We are breaking down Paul's destination for supernatural what? Advancement. And what's the first line we are seeing in his own destination? He wants to do what? To know Christ. So simply put, knowing Christ. What's the next thing he said that he wants to know? He wants to know the power of his resurrection. What does that mean? Paul is saying this Christ that appeared to me on the way to Damascus, this Christ that intercepted me from a life of uselessness. You know, Paul was living a useless life, but he didn't know. Paul thought, yes, he has arrived, been a lawyer. He learned under the best of the best, Gamaliel. He took permission from the priest to go and arrest and persecute the church, and he was making progress. He thought that was what life offered, the best that life offered. But on that journey that day, God intercepted him. Amen. So from that day, Christ became a mystery to Paul. Who could ever tame Paul? Who could ever do that to Paul? You know what Jesus did to Paul that day? What was it that Jesus did to Paul? He disarmed him completely. He disarmed him totally. Somebody that nobody could tame. He was not just a persecutor of the church. He was wreaking havoc. That's what the scripture says. He wreaked havoc. Havoc on the church. When the church here saw, once a year saw like this, everybody in the church, they are afraid. And I can tell you that the brethren in Damascus, immediately they heard that Saul was coming to Damascus, they knew there was trouble. And they began to pray. It was their prayer that intercepted Saul. You will not read that in the Bible, but we can fight. So Saul, from that day, began to ask himself, who could do this to me? That a whole Saul can be stricken with blindness for 3 days. He could not see. Can you imagine the sword that was coming? I will kill them. I will kill them. Just a light from heaven just flashed, and the light knocked him down. He couldn't see. Can you imagine all the They now have to hold his hand. They held his hand, and he was now falling. He couldn't even see. Shebi, it's when you have eyes to see, that's when you can kill. I see. May some of us not get to that point before you give your life to Christ. Are you hearing me? I say, may some of us not get to a point where God, we have to wound you before you surrender. God had to wound him. That same light from heaven that knocked him down was enough to kill him. But God said, I won't kill him. He's going to be a chosen instrument in my hand. And he himself will suffer for this same gospel that he has what? Been persecuting. So you can imagine all the gra. So sometimes when I see myself, I want to become pompous, become arrogant, thinking that I've reached the top of the world, and nobody can talk to me, and I remember people like this. I just simmer. The God we are dealing with, that he doesn't need AK-47 to kill you. Does God need AK-47 to kill you? What does God need to kill any one of us here tonight? He will just talk to the air, the breeze. Say, don't stop flowing his direction. Stop. Let him stop breathing. Let him stop breathing. You know, we are breathing now. We think it is normal. You don't know that there is a God behind it. The God who has not stopped you from breathing. So God doesn't need AK-47 to kill any one of us. So he handled Saul, and he handled him well. So they were not leading him by the hand. And for 3 days and 3 nights, Paul could not see with his physical eyes. The first day, he thought it was something he could deal with. When nothing happened at the end of the first day, second day, Paul began to pray. All this time we are teaching ourselves. We are at the house of prayer. That some of you are still joking with your prayer life. You are not praying. You don't see prayer as anything serious. I pray situation of life will not teach you how to fast and pray. I didn't hear your amen. That amen is not ringing well. There are people, hear me, there are people that it is situation of life that taught them how to pray and fast by force, by fire. Don't wait until challenges come. So I see in that Acts chapter 9 that the Bible says Paul turned it to fasting and prayer. Paul began to pray. And it was in that mood God sent Ananias to come and pray for him. You know, when you read the story of men like Paul, it's always good to trace their roots, their source. I imagine Bishop Ananias, because he was the bishop of the church in Damascus. He now came. God gave him address. Amen. Of where Saul was. And when he got there, no introduction. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord will appear to you on the way to Damascus as send me here to pray for you." Praise the Lord. And he laid hands on Paul. Have you ever discovered that somebody laid hands on Saul? This is the same blood that was doing gra, gra, gra. I will finish them. Then when God handled him, he too could now kneel down. And they were laying hands on him. And as hands were laid on Saul, what happened that day? The Bible says, scales fell from his eyes. When that happened, it became a matter for Saul. And that was why, from that day, Paul's destination for supernatural advancement is, I want to know this Christ. This Christ that is so powerful, that can handle a man like me. This Christ that is so loving, that is so caring, that I do not deserve to be alive. I'm supposed to be killed by that light, yet it showed me mercy. I want to know this Christ. This Christ that of all people in the world to use, he will say, I'm a chosen instrument in his hand. What kind of Christ is this? I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know Christ. It is sad that there are many people in the church today who know about their church more than Christ. Christ, for Paul, was his destination. I want to know Christ. I know by the time we are now getting to Philippians, I want you to cast your mind back to a story from Acts chapter 9 now. So now we are talking about Philippians chapter 3. A span of about 35 years has taken place in the life of Paul. So many wonderful things has been done by his hand. Churches have been planted. Miracles have taken place. This is the kind of man that he will just take handkerchief from his body and give to them, place it on the sick. The sick will recover. This is a man who has raised the dead. You remember Eutychus, at least if you remember every other person, how he raised Eutychus back to life. Many fantastic things God has done in the life of Paul. And still, after 35 years of conversion, of great service in the kingdom, Saul has not lost his vision of this destination he had from inception. I want to know Christ. My brother, my sister, there's a lot we are yet to know about Jesus. There's still so much about Christ that we have not discovered. What's the second thing that Paul said he wants to know? The power of what? Of his resurrection. We are in the Easter period when we're talking about the resurrection. And the resurrection power. The resurrection power is described in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's step backward to Ephesians chapter 3 and see how the Bible describes the resurrection power. The resurrection power. I think that should be Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, when we begin to talk about Paul's prayer, we will read the entire section, but for tonight, let's read from verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, can we all read verse 19 together? And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he did what? Exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and did what? Seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Okay, let's just stop there. So in verse 19, the power of Christ's resurrection is compared or is described as incomparably what? Incomparably great power. That means that power is not what? Comparable. That power is not what? There's nothing with which you want to compare it. Power of bomb. If you have seen bomb in operation, I don't know, was it this afternoon we are talking about this community in Delta that is said to have been bombed down by whatever. And I said, you don't play with military men. Whether they are the ones who did it or not, we don't know. Okay? They said they killed soldiers in those communities, and the people went back there and finished the community. The kind of weapons they have, this kind of building, if they throw some things here now, God forbid. But that's the power of bomb. Power of missiles. Go and see what Ukraine and they are doing. Those are powers. But there's what the Bible calls the power of what? Christ's resurrection. You see, that power is incomparable to anything that you have ever seen. Amen. Amen. You know, he said that power is the same. Let me use my own translation here. That power is like the walking, take note of that, is like the walking of his mighty strength. The working of his mighty strength. And you begin to ask yourself, how did Paul got to know all this thing that he's talking to us about? It's because of the quest that he had to know Christ. He wanted to know Christ. from death to death to burial to resurrection. Because he was not there physically with Jesus when he was ministering. And you see him severally, Paul will begin to say, that which I received, that I declare to you. Paul will say, I know a man, whether in the spirit or in the physical, who was taken to paradise and ate things that were unlawful for any human beings to utter. God gave this man insight. So he began to describe the power of Christ's resurrection. He compared it to the working of God's mighty strength. God's mighty strength. God has what? Mighty strength. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 20. God now exerted that power that we are talking about. He exerted that power. In who? In Christ Jesus. Where? When he was in the tomb. He was already dead, isn't it? So that resurrection morning, what was it that God did? God just sent the power of his resurrection. And when that power came upon Christ, what did that power did to Christ? The power exerted. What's the meaning of the word exerted? Those of us who drive vehicles, when your car battery is deflated and you want to jump start, have you jump started a battery before? What do we normally do? You pick some cables and just put it this way, put it this way, and you start the engine. You have exerted power on the dead battery, dead engine. What happens? It comes alive. So Paul said, that power of Christ's resurrection, I want to know it. I want to know it. I want to know how God did it. In fact, if it is possible, I want to experience it. Can you give us Philippians 3:10 again? Thank you. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. What's the next thing he said he wants to experience? Participation in his what? In his sufferings. So when we are talking about destination of supernatural advancement, it is not just that God will give us cars. It's not just that God will give us lands. It's not just that God will give us spacious dwelling places. It's not just that God will give us promotion, fantastic things. It is also for us to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection, to participate in his sufferings. And I hear somebody say, Pastor, no way. I like the first two. That one, I reject it. In Jesus' name. Is it possible to reject it? They are all together. Knowing Christ, knowing the power of his resurrection, participating in his sufferings. And what's the fourth one? Becoming like him. In what? In his death. What does that mean? If possible, me also. I want to not just suffer for Christ. I want to die the way he died. So when we sing some song, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. For Paul, did you see what it means for him? Can you see the four components of Paul's destination for supernatural advancement. It's my prayer that at the end of this year, every one of us will have grown in our knowledge of Christ. I didn't hear your amen. You know why you have to grow? You have to grow, and you have to grow by force, by fire. Eh? God is tired of baby Christians. Eh? God is tired of what? Babies in the church. We need to grow beyond feeding bottles. Because if you don't grow to know Christ, you are depriving yourself of so many wonderful things that God wants to do in your life. And unfortunately, there are so many in the church. Yes, they have given their life to Christ, but they are not growing. They have stagnated in their knowledge of Jesus. So, by the end of this year, your testimony is that this year, God helped me to know him. God helped me to know him. And sincerely speaking, that's the kind of testimony that we gladden the heart of God. God will be happy to say, yes, this year God granted me promotion. Yes. But in addition to promotion, God will be delighted to hear that this year Adeleke came to know him better. Amen. To know the power of his resurrection. You know, in our bodies now, what some of us need tonight is just to have a touch of the power of that resurrection. When the power of resurrection comes into your body, what happens? What happens? Are you with me? What happens when you experience the power of his resurrection? Anything that is dead, in your life, what happens to it? It comes alive. It comes alive. So for Paul, these were the four things that he was pursuing as his own destination. So let's go back to our material now as we begin to wrap it up. I hope you know where we are. We're in section B of the material. Last week we have looked at contextual advancement, congregational advancement. Some of the areas we need to trust God for advancement in the new year as follows. And the year is getting old. And the first one we mentioned there, are you with me now? If you have the material, the first one has to do with the issue of the purpose-driven church. And by the grace of God, we have had a series on the purpose-driven church, isn't it? We did that for the whole of the month of February. Why did we need to talk about the purpose-driven church? Because we did that about 4 years ago. Memory is notoriously unreliable, they say. And one of the ways we can enhance memory is by repetition too. Many people have joined the Ekohe Baptist Church who are not part of that experience when we did it earlier. And if we're going to truly be a purpose-driven vision church, what we call PDVs, we need everybody to come to that understanding. Number two, congregational advancement destination. We say greater spiritual growth and development of each member. Greater what? Spiritual growth and development of how many members? Each member. Each member. Greater spiritual growth and development of each member. If at the end of 2024, members of Ikoyi Baptist Church have not grown spiritually, have not developed spiritually, sincerely speaking, it's either we misunderstood what God is saying, or like the Israelites who could not get to their promised land on time, we misbehaved. I beg you, as we are trusting God for glorious things that are physical in nature, financial, material in nature, please don't lose sight of this, that God wants you to grow spiritually. Amen. Amen. The other time we talk about no God meter. And we say, where are you on no God meter? On the scale of 10, your knowledge of God, that's the no God meter. Where are you? Are you on level 1 or level 5 or level 9? So, spiritual growth. I actually don't know how to say that again for you to catch it. That God desire for us that this year you and I should grow taller spiritually. And we're going to read some scriptures. But let's read what is under that point. Then I will take us through, I think, about 2 scriptures. It said, this speaks to discipleship. This speaks to what? Discipleship. Nobody grows spiritually. Nobody grows and become mature as a believer who has not gone through discipleship. Currently, discipleship is going on in the church. Opportunities abound, even on one-on-one, to grow. Hallelujah. All members shall be encouraged and have been encouraged to maximize the opportunity that the discipleship program of the church offers. In addition, all the PDV heads are expected to devise a strategy for the spiritual growth of each of their members. Don't forget that this material has been prepared since last year. It's not new. Amen. Amen. So, what we are looking for in every PDV this year, in the general church like this, is that every opportunity we have when we come together should be an opportunity to help us to do what? To grow spiritually. To develop spiritually. To knowing Jesus better. To knowing the power of his resurrection. To understand what his suffering is all about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's read some scriptures to see the expectation of God. And I will start from what I think should be familiar to all of us now, Colossians chapter 2. If you have been attending home cell, you will understand this. In the home cell, since the beginning of this year, we have been studying about what? Let me not see it from there. Who wants to tell us? Okay, if you're a member of the home cell, raise your hand. A member of a home cell. Raise your hand. Some are doing like this. Okay, so who wants to tell us? What have we been learning in the home cell? What has been the topic, the theme? Somebody is doing like this. Shegun, oh yeah, tell us, there's microphone in your hand.
Roots downwards, fruits upwards.
Roots downward, fruits upward. How many of us have been part of that study? You have been part of that study. Who wants to share with us what you have learned since we started? Quick, quick, quick. Who wants to share with us about root downward, fruit upward? Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In our home cells, I learned about root up and root down.
Root downward, fruit upward.
I learned that when you have faith in Christ, your faith will grow up and you will grow up in higher in Christ.
Okay. Yeah. That could be one of the things. Maybe to save our time. Are you in Colossians chapter 2? Are you there? Look at what the Bible says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Verse 7, can we read it together? Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I want you to see the sequence in our spiritual development. Every spiritual development starts with receiving Christ. Your journey to growing spiritually, where does it start from? Are you with me tonight? Where does that journey start? That journey starts with receiving. Give us verse 6. With receiving Christ. It says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. That's where it starts from. Perhaps you are here tonight, you have not received Christ. You need to receive him because you have not started at all. So Paul was telling the brethren in Colossae, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, what's the next thing he told them to do? Continue. Underline the word continue. Those are key words in that passage. Receive. Continue. Then in verse 7, what did he say in verse 7? Rooted and built up in him. So when we are talking about spiritual development, we are talking about continuity in Christ. We are talking about having deep spiritual roots. And I want to believe most of us here, you have been to the farm. Isn't it? There are different types of trees in the farm. You have orange tree. You have mango tree. You have pawpaw tree. You have banana tree. You have apple. You like apple. Kayla, you like apple. I can see that. Apple tree. And you have not seen apple tree before. Have you seen apple tree? Palm tree. I thought you said apple. Praise God. Iroko tree. Palm tree. Excuse me, what is the difference between palm tree and banana tree. What is the difference? Huh? It's not good to be doing cho-cho-cho-cho like this. What is the difference, Miss Bala? You want to? I've forgotten that you're an agriculturist. That's true. No, let them hear you. Okay. One is a perennial. When you say it's perennial?
It leaks beyond 2 years.
Okay.
And it continues to grow and produce every in its season.
In its season.
So that's palm tree. And the reason is palm tree is a deep-rooted crop that grows its root deep down into the soil. Mm. And it takes time before it shoots out.
Did you hear that? The first thing a palm tree, see, a palm tree, just like an iroko tree and all those big trees, they are never in a hurry to grow outside. They are not interested in publicity, public life first. The first thing an iroko tree or a palm tree wants to do is to, first of all, establish itself. So, year one, year two, year three, you planted your palm tree. It's like you are wasting your time. The thing just do on the ground like this, shakala like this. Consuming sunlight, consuming rain, and it is not, to you, it's not growing. If actually you don't have understanding about root development, about how a tree grows, what's the natural thing you will do year two? You just come carry cutlass and say, this thing, you are wasting my time. You cut it down. But what is palm tree doing? Palm tree is sending its roots deep down. The same thing an iroko tree. The thing will just slim like this. Eh? Slim like this. And for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, the thing is just shankala like this. It's not to you in on the outside. Nothing is happening. But see, that iroko tree, the first thing it does is to grow root. To grow what? To grow what? To grow its root. It's sending root. It's not in a hurry to produce. Then when it starts producing, it's consistent and it's continuous. Have you ever seen a palm tree? Even when they say this one is old, you still see nuts coming out of that tree. But how about banana? Mama, kill us all. That one is quick. How long does it take for banana to grow, Mrs. Bala? How long does it take to grow? Do you have an idea? My wife is not yet. I will have put her on the spot tonight because this is an area of specialization. Root development.
Plants, you transfer a bud of a banana. It continues to grow, but it doesn't. Once it fruits, we cut it down. And another sucker will germinate from that root.
So when you talk about banana, and I'm sure some of you like banana here, or banana plantain, it doesn't take time. Within months, banana is already bringing fruit, isn't it? If you want to cut down a banana tree, you need a bulldozer, Abby. What do you need to bring down a banana tree? See the way Dickie Najao just did. They just push the thing down. Just push it down. If the thing is so tall, and say, at tall, your hand not going to reach me. Woo, you cannot catch my fruit. Just go there, pull it down, and cut the fruit. Eh? How difficult is it to pull down a banana tree? Eh? How long does it take? The thing is already on the ground. No stamina, nothing. Where's his problem? No root. No serious root. Shallow. no debt. But can you go to a pantry and say, this pantry, I've received anointing in the church today, I will bring you down. And you go to the pantry and you are using your hand to push down pantry. Is it possible? It's not possible. You'll be there till next year. What makes the difference between the two, sir? Their root development. Look at some of those trees we have on our street here. You may be surprised that some of their roots, if you trace some of their roots, you may find their roots as rich the other street there. Plus this building here, those roots, they have a way of maneuvering. What are they looking for? Roots, they are looking for water. They are looking for nutrients. They are supplying the tree so that the tree can survive and bring forth fruit. So as we are talking about supernatural advancement this year and destination for us as a church, we are talking about the need for every one of us to grow spiritually. For every one of us to develop strong roots. See what Paul said. Paul said to the Colossians, I want you to be rooted. I want you to be rooted. I want you to be rooted. The next word he touched on, maybe next week when we come, we are going to be talking about, because that's another critical word, built up. So, it's a challenge. And you see, this thing we are talking about, nobody will do it for you. All this one that we are shouting like this, we can only provoke you. We can only motivate you. If you don't take personal responsibility for your own spiritual development, nobody will do it for you. What we are saying is that I must be tired of being spoon-fed. I must grow beyond feeding bottle. So let me move from this scripture. Let's take another one. You can see the difference between a banana tree, a mango tree, a palm tree. That what makes the difference is their root. When you put two Christians together like this, and one is standing despite the storm and the challenges of life, excuse me, where's the secret? It is in their root. If you have not been attending home cell, I beg of you, please find time to be in the home cell. If for any reason you cannot go to home cell, get that material. Get that material. Get it and study it. See, anyone that's going to be long-lasting in the hand of God, the first thing you must give attention to in your life, in your spiritual journey, is God, help me to be rooted. I don't want to be a tomato Christian. I don't want to be a banana Christian. Did you see that even when God was speaking, comparing the righteous, he didn't say the righteous shall be like what? Shall be like the banana tree. Psalm 92 verse 12. Did he say the righteous will be like the banana tree? What did he say? He said the righteous will flourish. Like what? Like palm tree. What's the next word? They will grow. Like what? Oh, I pray you will have time to go and study about cedar tree. See, the trunk of a cedar tree in its diameter. I don't know how to describe it. Some cedar tree can be in their diameter as wide as this row combined together. So you want to fall down that kind of tree. You go carry cutlass. Say, where are you going? Say, I want to cut down, see that tree. They will just look. See, as you put the tree, put the cutlass, the tree will just say, come, come. Say, you can't penetrate. That's what he's saying. That kind of tree, you don't carry jigsaw to bring it down. There are some trees you can't just bring down. Say, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, not like tomato tree. Unfortunately, we have tomato Christians in the church. And if they are just one or two, it will have been all right. We'll have said, let's say we can have plenty. Plenty. That's the way you laugh. Plenty tomato Christians that can't stand pressure. Can't stand. Once you declare 21 days fasting and prayer, they will just travel. They say, Pastor, Pastor, I'll see you, I'll see you, I'll see you. After fasting and prayer, they are back. 40 days fasting and prayer, say, Pastor, the spirit is saying, praise the Lord. Paul said, I want you to be rooted and built up in Christ. I want to flourish like the palm tree. And I want to grow like cedar. Cedar is not just big, it's strong. Even when you set it on fire, before it burns, it takes time. That's the kind of Christian God is looking for. And that is where that must be our destination. That must be your destination and my destination. Can we look at one scripture again? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Can we all read it together? But grow in the grace and knowledge of what? Of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At what point did we encounter grace? We encounter grace at salvation. That's why we can sing Amazing Grace, isn't it? At what point did we come to know Christ? It's at salvation. The day you accept Jesus into your life as Savior and Lord. But just like Apostle Paul was admonishing the brethren in Colossae, can you see Peter also? Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, can you see Peter also placing emphasis on the same thing? What did he ask these believers to do? To grow. Don't just encounter the grace. Don't just be satisfied with knowing Christ. Grow in that grace. Grow in that grace. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Grow, grow, grow. Keep growing. Keep advancing. Don't just be satisfied with being born again. Don't just be satisfied that, yes, I've encountered amazing grace. Don't just be satisfied that, I've known Jesus, I'm born again. The word of God says, grow, 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 grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Don't stagnate. That's the destination for us. this year, in addition to beautiful things God will do for us, fantastic blessings, marvels that God will wrought for us, we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that I won't come back to this next week. Church planting and church revitalization, church strengthening. The trial shall be pursued vigorously in the coming year, meaning this year, last year. And by God's grace, we are doing that to the glory of God. The reason why brethren are in Uganda now is to do that. And guess what? We are doing church revitalization, not in a Baptist church. Anglican churches gather all their leaders now to come to learn about how their churches can come back to life. Building a strong membership base. We are still pursuing that to the glory of God. By God's grace, God should help us this year that our membership directory will come out where we have the names of every member of the church. Currently, we don't have anything like that. We need to have that in place. Investments. We shall be trusting the Lord to give more increase to Pathway Advanced Limited and Light Point Schools. We need to trust God to lead us to having additional viable investments. The time to vigorously pursue additional investments is now. Mind you, all this were written since last year. They are not things that were written yesterday. Amen. Commencement of work on number 5 or 7. We feel that we cannot do the two at the same time. We shouldn't do the two at the same time. Doesn't make sense to combine big projects like that together. So by the grace of God, I believe that we're going to start work on either this year. Work is going on quietly. We are bringing people together to bring their wealth of experience. Once we are done, we'll be coming to the public to share with the congregation. Hallelujah. I do not have time to look at another character. If we have time next week, we're going to be looking at the life of Moses. Moses' spiritual development. If I have time on this journey, I'll be sharing with you even Paul's stages of spiritual development. To know that all these things that we are talking about, nobody, you know, arrived in one day. Even Paul had to grow. Even Moses had to grow. Even Jesus had to grow. Have you read in the scripture? Luke 2 verse 52. Say, and Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom, in favor before God and man. So if Jesus grew, Apostle Paul grew, Peter grew, they became mighty for God. You and I, we have no choice. Praise God.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. I told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me near.
Stanza 2.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace the divine. Let my soul, O God, with a steadfast hope, and my weapon lost in thine. Draw me near.
to grow in Christ, there's an opportunity for you. Just step out as we take the last stanza. I'm going to pray with you and guide you as to how to go on that journey. Father, tonight, that you will draw us nearer and nearer to you. I pray for myself and everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, that the grace to come nearer to you, let it come upon our lives. The grace to hunger for Christ, hunger to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, let it come upon every one of us. Deliver us from being self-satisfied. Deliver us from every spirit of self-arriver. Saturate our spirit man with a desperation, with a hunger, Lord God, to know you, to get closer and closer to you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that every one of us shall become rooted and built up in Christ. I pray that Christ will be formed in every one of us. I pray that the Lord will give unto us all the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, I plead with you that everyone in this assembly shall grow in grace, shall grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Deliver us from spiritual stagnation in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your holy name. For every need in our lives tonight, we receive your answer. We receive your intervention. You will take every one of us back home safely. You will give us divine escort in the name of Jesus. For our brethren traveling tomorrow and as many others traveling this weekend, beginning from tomorrow, we receive safety. We receive straightways. We cancel accidents, minor or major, in the name of Jesus. We declare again over this assembly, no James will die. No Peter will be arrested. As many that are under satanic vexation, satanic torture, we release them tonight. None will die in our camp. None will die in our families. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Be with our brethren over there in Uganda. Continue to prosper the purpose for which you have sent them. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. And may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon us and bless us with his peace. Now and forevermore.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.